Hi, everybody. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast, and welcome to our 127th podcast, Trading Questions and Answers. And we're just a little more than a week away from the Super Bowl, and because the podcast is coming from Western Pennsylvania, and the Pittsburgh Steelers have gone 8 times and won 6 of them, I want to share the joy of those people who are following Cincinnati and the Rams to the Super Bowl. And here's that joy. We know what it's all about.
We're going to the Super Bowl! We're going to the Super Bowl! We're going to the Super Bowl! We're going to the Super Bowl!
Yes, indeed. You know, I've seen every Super Bowl. I'm not a kid, but it's really special when the team you root for is going to the Super Bowl. All right. We have a wonderful discussion today about gambling. Over the phone, so let me get right to it. We're going to introduce Charlie Frere, the author of Casino Fun 101. The book's doing very well, and he's asking us questions, and we're asking him questions, and that's why we're calling it Trading Questions and Answers. Okay, short break, and we'll be right back, and we'll start with Janie, Charlie, and myself in a conversation about gambling.
We welcome Charlie Frere, the author of Casino Fun 101, back again today. We're going to have a little fun with each other because this is more than just a second interview for a successful author. This is one where he's going to get to interview Coach Fab and Janie, who we do, of course, the Casinos USA podcast. So, Charlie, we'll get you and you get us.
All right, I love it. This is a great idea. It'll be fun.
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to put my better half up first. She's ready for you.
All right. Hi, Janie. Great to meet you. And,
yeah.
It's interesting. I don't know if you know this person, but I recently talked to a person named Professor Slots, and he started telling me lots of things about slot machines. He's kind of a real expert on it, and I understand that you primarily play slots. And I'm one of those people that thinks that slots are kind of, you know, I think in terms of one-armed bandits, and I don't know a lot about them. So I was wondering if you could give us some tips, because I'm discovering as I meet more and more people that play slots that there's really a lot to it, and there's a lot of different options and choices to make.
That's true. There are, and I do primarily play slots, although I'm starting to lean toward video poker the most. Obviously, because the odds are better there. You're dealing with that deck of cards, and I've found that I do better on that. I just happen to like all the animation, you know, and the bonus rounds in the regular slots.
Yeah.
And I think what a lot of people like, you know, that activity there, that you feel like you're being challenged by the machine. But I would have to say that I think it's important when you play slots that you look at the actual machine and read the top of it to see the directions or to see what combinations you have to win or what you're looking for in this machine, because they're all a little different. So many people just sit down, put their money in, and just start pushing buttons or pulling levers and don't have any idea what's involved. You know, you could be playing and putting money in, and you're not playing the max, and then it tells you in fine print on the top of the machine that unless you're playing max coins, you're not going to get the bonus, or you're not going to obviously win the big one. So
yeah,
I think it's
on the top of every slot machine. There's that information.
Right. It will show you, you know, like what combinations pay, you know, if you get 3 red sevens or you get 3, you know, 4 times the number winnings, it'll explain all that and tell you what you have to have pretty much to win. And then also there's a big disclaimer that Fab and I ran into out at the Rio in Las Vegas years ago. We sat down to play a video poker machine, and we put a $100 bill in, and the power went out in the whole casino. And so he said to me, wow, what do you think will happen? I said, well, if you ever looked, there's a disclaimer on a machine that says if there's a power outage or a malfunction, the casino's not responsible. And so he got a little irritated by that, but eventually, you know, 15 minutes, power came back on, and we did get the money. I've never been in a situation where there was a malfunction that we didn't get it back, but there is that disclaimer. I think it's still there. Now, I haven't looked recently, but I think they're still on there.
Got it.
And another big one is that if you are playing a slot machine, sometimes, you know, people, if you're doing well, people will come up behind you and watch you playing it. They enjoy that. I know I've done that even. But an important thing to remember is whoever pushes the button or pulls the lever and wins is the person that gets the payout. If it's over the $1,200 amount and an attendant has to pay you, it's not the person who's is in the machine or who is sitting at the machine, and this has been proven in courts. So you have to remember that, yes.
Yeah. So you don't want somebody else pulling the lever for you, like.
No. Now, if it's a spouse, I'm sure that's okay. but there, I've seen people do it, you know, and they'll say, oh, do you want to push this? Or someone will say, well, let me do that. Let me just try that.
When Janie told me about that, he does a lot of reading. I said, that can't be true. And then I read the court cases. It is true. One guy said, girl standing behind him, go ahead and pull the lever. She won $100,000. They came out and paid her because they look at film for any hand pay, $1,200. And they said, that's the law. He went to court and he lost. They just said, that's the law, buddy.
Well, I was under the misunderstanding that whoever's card was in the machine, that you shouldn't switch cards. You know, that they don't have to pay you if it isn't your card in the machine. Let's say I forgot mine and Fab, I used his. But I think... Or they'll say that's enough to invalidate the win, and they won't pay you at all.
That's a little shaky there. Of course,
yeah,
we have a rule on that.
Yeah, that's a little shaky, but I would just say, just go by the rules, you know. Just do what...
I got it.
But a lot of people don't.
Could you just tell him why you play slots, though? And what's the advantage of slots?
Well, I like...
Because Charlie and I are table game guys.
Yeah, right. I know that. And, of course, we didn't have all these across the country... casino trips and not talk about craps. That I was the captive audience for him. He taught me how to play craps sitting in the car. He went over everything on those long rides and then made me learn how to play it, which I did. And I was doing quite well for a while until one day I looked at the table and I thought, gee, I got $100 just on the table right now on this roll. You know, I could be playing a whole lot more odds with this. My thought is, I mean, the big wins don't come on the table, if you know what I mean. The progressive machine, the life-changing wins, and I never really go into the casino thinking that will happen. I'm not chasing that. I'm there to have fun and, you know, just not to have to go to the ATM or get any more money. I have my budget, that's it. But you do have life-changing wins on slots for very little money a lot of times. So I was playing at the Meadows Casino in Washington, PA, a few months ago, and I'm playing my usual betting of 40 cents, 80 cents, you know, a dollar. It's usually my max. And another, like, doing the same thing and just sitting a couple machines down from me, and she won $34,000. So, and Fab's comment to me was, why couldn't you do that? Isn't that typical, though? But I like to go in and try to win as much as I can for as little as I can. Now some people don't do that. They'll say, well, you can't win with that kind of bet. And then the next person will be sitting beside me saying, wow, I've been playing math and haven't won a thing, and you've won $80 and on 20-cent bets. Now, there are not too many 20-cent bet machines left, but that's my goal always, to see how much I can do. And I find that instead of having big wins on one game or one time, I try to win certain amounts at maybe five or six different machines or five or six different days, you know, if I'm on a vacation.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So I'm going to go back to Charlie with a question. Thank you so much, Jenny. I know you have to run, but...
Pit was Rocky Gap Casino in Flintstone near Cumberland, Maryland. We were there a couple days. I think we went Sunday, we're leaving on a Tuesday, and I had $5 left of free play on Tuesday morning, and we were leaving, and Fab says, oh, well, you have to go play the free play. I said, I don't want to play it. I want to just go. You know, I miss my dog now. I want to go home. I'm done.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't be tempted to play anymore, or, you know, and I had done okay, nothing great, but he said, no, it's free play. You have to play it. So he weren't leaving until I played it. So I went in and I picked this big machine that we like because he had won $500 on. So I put the $5 in and I thought, okay, that's one spin. It's a dollar machine. It's $5 a roll. Okay, I'll be done in one roll. Well, I did fairies, and so I got a few more spins. So I had totally maybe four spins out of that $5. Well, then I hit for $500. So, and it was all on their money, so I felt good about that, which can happen. You know, that a nun from that same area won $1 million on that machine.
Can you imagine how happy?
Her order was very happy, yeah.
That was a big story.
It was a big story, actually, at the casino, because she was in her hat. She had semi-habit, like a veil, headpiece on, and her glasses off. Whatever, but then she went there a lot, and everybody there was so happy for her.
Yeah, that's great.
With slots, you do have a chance to have a big hit. How many, I mean, you read about them all. Well, in fact, one of my friends called the other day. Her son was at a casino, and he won $5,000. Well, he went back next day, two machines away, and won another five.
Tell them where that was.
That was at the casino, Pittsburgh Live, in Greensburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Well,
nice talking to you. Nice meeting you, Charlie. I'm enjoying
it. Yeah, thanks, Janie. You know, Janie, one thing I've taken away is I never heard the expression life-changing wins.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I really like that because... you know, some people do ask me, why do people play games where they have a little chance of winning? You know, why don't they play blackjack where you have a better chance of winning?
Right.
And I really think that the answer to that is life-changing win. You know, one of the answers to that is that you have an opportunity to have a life-changing win. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I appreciate that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. We know other people that have had that happen where you're going to have that kind of win and where you're not expecting it. But that rarely happens in the table game.
Mr. Charlie Frere, I'm going to ask you a question.
All right.
We're table game guys, so what are the key steps for learning a casino table game?
Great. It's funny because I would also say this is true for slots after talking with Janie. So I wouldn't limit it to table games, but there are, to me, there's four key elements to learning the game properly. And the first is the most obvious one, and it's probably what most people do, which is you learn the rules of the game and just how to play. And it's amazing to me, and I'm sure you've seen this too. I've seen people in casinos that don't even know really how to play the game, but are playing, which is really a way to throw your money away. But anyway, the first step is just learn the rules and how to play the game, and then understand that casinos have different rules, and you can play one game in a casino, like let's just use blackjack as an example, craps is another. In one casino and go to another casino, and they will have some rules that are different that may give you more or less of an advantage. So that's why it's so important to understand the rules and how to play the game. The next step, once you know how to do that, is something I don't think a lot of people understand, but in table games in particular, there is always, always, always a best play or a best bet or both. And what I mean by best play is, again, if I could use blackjack as an example, every situation in blackjack, it's called basic strategy. There's a best play. And so you really don't need to think, you know, in terms of what to do, because there is always a best play. And if you know the best plays, and in games like craps, the best bets, you're really always taking the highest percentage road. The house will always have the edge on you, but why not play the play that gives you the best edge against the house?
I guess I'm taking what you're saying is, if somebody asked that question, should I just go and start to play a game? You'd say, no, you have to do some work before you get there.
I would. I really liken it to swimming. I love swimming, but I would never just go jump in the deep end of a pool without learning a little bit about swimming, you know? And at least in a pool, they have lifeguards, where in casinos, they don't. So.
Well, before you ask me a question, I have one more for you because it ties into what you just said. You know, so many people think casinos are bad places, and your book really pointed out that, and Danny and I discussed this, there's actually advantages you have when you're playing at a casino. And, like, people were saying, what are you talking about? You're going to get your money. Like, can you just tell us about some of the advantages you think that casinos can give you as a player?
Let me go back and just quickly say the other two steps in learning a casino game. Once you know best plays, you want to learn how to, you want to decide on the best, on a playing strategy that you're going to use. Some people play aggressively, some people play conservative. It's just that you want to determine, you know, for yourself, what is going to be my playing strategy. And so you go in and just, you're already pre-decided how you're going to play. And then the final one is to create a betting strategy. And what I mean by that is that you want to have a pre-plan before you go into a casino about when and where you're going to raise or lower your bets. And so those are the four steps. Learn the rules, learn the best plays, decide on a playing strategy, and create a betting strategy. You do that before you go into a casino, and you're going to be way ahead of where most people are. And that is one of the advantages you have over the casino. Moving into your question, in terms of all the advantages I list have to do with really preparation. So the casino sets the rules to the games, which are always designed for the casino to have an advantage, to be in the casino's favor. There's nothing you can do about that. What you can do, though, is you can prepare and prepare in a way that you're gonna be playing the best odds and the best plays all the time, and you get to make choices that the casino can't make. Those are all advantages you have. For instance, you get to choose when to play, how much you're gonna bet, when you're gonna stop betting, when you're gonna leave, when you're gonna when to quit when you're losing, when to quit when you're ahead. All those decisions are your advantages, because the casino can't quit. If the casino's losing to you, they can't say, okay, we're done. The casino is open 24 hours a day, most casinos. So they don't have an advantage about when and where to play. There are best times, if you frequent a casino often, you'll find there are best times during the day to play certain games at that casino. So that's what I mean by advantages, in terms of that you prepare and that you get to make those choices, not the casino. The casino cannot get you to play. You choose to play. You choose which game. You choose what time, and you choose how much to bet. So that's what I mean by that.
I really appreciate that, because I hear this expression all the time, casino money, and I always say, no, there's no such thing. If you want it and you play it, you're risking it. If you're risking your money, you just want it. And I always tell people, if it's not casino money, you can walk out the door with it, and they can't do a thing. And that, it comes to, like you just said, you have the advantage of a stop win or stop loss goal. You can quit when you're ahead, and they can't do a damn thing about it. That's a great advantage, Charlie.
Right, exactly. And we can quit when we're ahead, you know?
Many of our friends don't do that.
All right. Well, let me get back to you about. I know this is fascinating to me because I know that you're a big time craps player and you have different systems you use, but I also know that you're willing to adapt those methods and systems according to what you're seeing at the table. And you know, there. By the way, that's an advantage a player has right there and then, and that's. Well, that's what I call in my book, Casino Fun 101. I actually illustrate different types of players, and that's what a boss can do. The difference between a boss and a better bettor is a better bettor is a good player, but a boss goes to a table and then plays according to how the table's playing and has, you know, a variety of approaches depending on what the casino's doing. So I'd love to hear from you about, you know, you're playing craps and how you do that.
Well, I thank you. This is really a distinction with me from many people who play craps. I go with the system, with the plan, as you suggest, but I also see other tables trending. And a lot of people say, that's BS. I can't have a memory, you know. So one roll is connected to the next. And I say, yeah, I understand that. However, tables really do trend. You know, in any table game, all of a sudden people start to get cards. So... what I do, regardless of the strategy I'm playing on, how I'm betting, whether it's on the dark side or the pass line, all of a sudden, I'm at the Blue Chip Casino in Michigan City, Indiana, and a lady throws a go. Big deal. I'm not playing. I ignore it. She throws another one. I thought, oh, my God, I should have just gone after it. So I threw $5 on it. She threw it again. Charlie, the table was packed. She threw 11 yos in a row, and I jumped on it because... was a streak, and so I walked out of there with several $1,000 because I kept pressing it. And the guy beside me didn't do a thing. One other woman, not the shooter, but one other woman was throwing money on it too, not as much as I was, but she won several $100. But I said to the guy beside me, because we had talked before this happened, I said, why didn't you jump on that Coretti? And he said, oh, because it was a terrible bet. It is a terrible bet. But when you're on a streak like that, risk $5, you know? I couldn't believe that. So my rule there is, regardless of the system that you're in, never fight a streak. And then on the other side of that is, if your system's getting beat, stop playing it.
Right.
Okay, so that's my answer.
Oh, that's great. Great. And I think you're saying, and that's really made you successful in craps, in terms of that you're not stuck in one system or one way of playing. You really go to the table, observe what's going on, and begin to go with what's happening at the table.
Well, some people say, I never play, like they'll stop talking about themselves. They'll say, I'll never play from the down pass. I'll never do that. And I'll say to them, you're playing it with one hand, because sometimes when a table's ice cold, the only way you can win in craps is from the don't pass. So make a choice. Either walk business when you're losing, or go to the don't pass and make money.
Yes. Oh, that's brilliant. I really like that, and I agree. You know, I'm right on board with that. I'm the same way. When I play games, I very much go with what seems, you know, what is the apparent trend. Don't you wish we could know when a trend stops and when a trend starts? we'd be rich.
Yeah, you might lose on the back, but don't ignore it, you know, don't ignore it. I did this 4 times in my life. I had a dollar on the 12, that paid $30, and I left it there, and the next hit was 900. So I only came from a dollar. I've done this 4 times. for a dollar bet, I win $900. And you know, that every time the guy asked me, the dealer asked me, you gonna leave it there at $900? And I say, no. Well, so next hit was in 27,000. And I said, no, 4 times. One time it did come up 3 times in a row. I thought to myself, oh my goodness. But you know, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. And they say, that's the stupidest bet there is. I risk a dollar. You know?
Right, exactly.
I'm going to throw another dollar on him. He throws a 12 again. Now I got 30 left it there, you know? So that's what I'm talking about. I got a couple questions for you that I don't frighten you, but there's a lot of people that play table games that listen to this podcast. Can you give us a real good example of the definition of variance?
Yeah, I'd love to. And that just so fits with what you're talking about, because, you know, variance is the way things in life really go rather than how they're supposed to go. So, and I mean, just using it as, you know, there's real life and then there's how things are, you know, that they're supposed to be. So, and that's, you know, in mathematics and in science, we stumble on this all the time. But here's a great example. If I use flipping a coin as an example, there's a 50-50 chance that it'll land on heads and tails every time you flip it. And 50-50 chance. And, you know, like people will say, and the coin has no memory. So every time it's 50-50. Every time it's 50-50. But in reality, when you start flipping a coin, let's say you flip a coin 10 times, rarely does it come out five heads and five tails. It almost always goes something like this: heads, 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 tails, tails, heads, tails, 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 heads, heads, you know, like that. So, with variance, and how casinos make money is that over time they have, let's say they have a 5% advantage. I know that every game is different, but let's just say they have a 5% advantage. So if they're open 24 hours a day, they're making 5% on what everybody bet. However, it doesn't happen like that. Some days they lose money. Some days they win money. But maybe after a year, it levels out to 5%. Because the more, if you go back to the coin flipping example, the more you flip the coin, the closer it gets to 50-50. So if you flip it 10 times, it could be really off. You flip it 1,000 times, it'll be much closer to 500-500. So that's what variance is, and that goes right into what you're talking about in terms of trends and streaks, is the way you're playing and the way I play, actually, is you try and ride the trend of the streak that's going on. We don't know when it's going to stop. We don't know when it's going to end. But that's why I have what I call stop-loss measures, and stop-loss and stop-win measures. And what those are is I take advantage of variance. My stop-win is tells me when I stop when I'm winning, and my stop-loss tells me when to quit when I'm losing. And basically, those are various amounts for my stop-loss. It's just whatever I buy in for at the table, that's my stop-loss. I never buy in twice at a table. I have a specified amount, and if I lose that, I'm done, I move on. My stop win is if I double my money, I divide the money I've won in half, and I play with the half that I've won, and the other half that I've won, I put away in my pocket, and I don't play with any more than the half I've won. And if I keep winning, I keep dividing it in half and keep dividing it in half. So that's based on that there is variance. And
that's great.
Yeah, and that's where those come from.
Better explanation than that. That was fantastic. I'm going to, because of the time, I'm going to ask me a question, and I'll close out with asking you the last question. So All right.
I'd love to hear some of your top gambling principles that can be applied to most table games.
Well, here's my number one that drives me every time I play. And, it puts me in contrast or opposition to people that are on YouTube selling gambling systems. And here it's simple. In any table game, bet more when you're winning, bet less when you're losing. I'm not saying to bet the same bet every time. When you're on a hot streak, when you're hot, you're hot. Increase your bets. Yeah. But when you're losing, don't chase your bets. Go back to the minimum bet. So, you know, I've gone to casinos. I do that a lot socially with a couple people, and the table's hot, and we're winning. And all of a sudden, I'm making $50 bets. They're still making $10 bets, you know? But we're already a couple hundred dollars up, and we walk out of there, and I'm up $1,600. I said, what'd you win today? They say $300. I said, well, why didn't you increase your bets? No, I don't play that way. But that's what gambling's about. You know, so increase your bets when you're winning, and don't chase them when you're losing. Because wait to the table where the cards or whatever it is comes back your way and then start to bet. I also told you the other one, never fight a streak.
Yeah.
dangerous thing to make. And then if you can jump on the parade, that's what I call it, do it. So those are two of the big ones. And we've already discussed this in your book. Both of us agree. Never lose money you can't afford to lose. If you can't afford to lose it, don't gamble. You said you have a trip kit. You have a casino trip kit. So I really want to know more about that. How does it work? What's a casino trip kit?
All right. Well, my casino trip kit is chapter 11 in the book. And basically, it's probably 20 or 25 questions that you should have, that you should be able to answer. You should know the answer to those questions before you go into a casino. And there are questions like, what game will I play? How long will I play? What sessions? How much will I bet? When will I raise my bets? When will I lower my bets? When will I stop when I'm winning? When will I stop when I'm losing? If you know all that in advance, then you are prepared to go into a casino. And I also list some things that I think you should take with you to the casino, especially if you're going for 2 or 3 days. But that's what the kit is. And it's Chapter 11 in Casino Fun 101. And, you know, the whole kit is there. If you go to the website I have, which is CasinoFun101.com, you can print it out.
Well, wow, the time confinements brings us to a close, but what an interesting conversation with one of the big gamblers at Mohegan Sun, all right? So it's great, and he was quite an author and wrote a book called Casino Fun 101, and it's really selling well, and we want you to take a look at that book, please. It's available on all the outlets, good deal on Amazon, and there's other things you can do. There's even an ebook available. Just do a little research and you'll find it. I know a lot of you will be thinking about Super Bowl bets, but at the same time, some of you might be spending part of the day Super Bowl Sunday in a casino. So try to utilize some of this information from two experienced, wise gamblers, right? People you don't meet every day. All right. So anyway, thanks again for listening. This wonderful conversation that we had today with Janie and Charlie Frere, author of Casino Fun 101, and yours truly, Coach Fav. Really enjoyed bringing it to you. We're in the month of February, so I want to say happy Valentine's Day to young lovers and old lovers alike, all right? And we'll see you in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening. And Casinos USA, as always, is still a place where every day is Saturday.